Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Have you ever talked with someone who has had a threatening, anxiety-producing experience and you talk to them a year down the line?
This is Focus on the Family Minute with the late Dr. Steve Farrar.
And you talk with them and they say, you know, that it just scared me to death. But you know, greatest thing that ever happened to me. See, sometimes, folks, we're so cotton-picking busy, we can't even hear the voice of the shepherd. So he interrupts our lives. He makes us lie down because he wants to redirect us. He wants to teach us. He's got a little different course. He's calling the shots. He knows exactly what he's going to do.
More wisdom from Steve Farrar about trusting God's plan for your life at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
The debate is on. We're having a Trump versus Biden debate watch party Thursday, June 27th from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Republican headquarters in Atascadero. There is no mystery here. Both presidents have served their terms and voters have plenty to compare in each administration. This debate will be a key event offering insights into the candidates' positions and the vision for the future of America. It's going to be the place to be for Slo County conservatives. Peace and refreshments for $20 donation, paid for by the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Cornelius was a farm boy, but all he ever really wanted to do was go away to sea. Growing up near the harbor, his imagination was sparked by the passing vessels, and he would identify each, the type of craft, even the owner's name. This amazed his family and his neighbors. They wondered why such a prodigious memory had not served Cornelius well in school. In fact, anything indoors just was not interesting. At 10, he was a formidable rock climber, a good bareback rider. He could row a boat, he could swim better than many twice his age, but he was no scholar. And so at 11, he quit school to help work the farm full-time. But his heart was out there beyond the harbor, running before the wind to some distant port of which he could only dream. What he could not then have dreamed is the rest of the story. Cornelius was 16 when he came to his mother and announced he was leaving the family farm. The rest ought not to have come as a surprise. He wanted to be a sailor. Mother Phoebe was aghast. She knew how dangerous a sailor's life was in those days, what with pirates raiding sailing ships and murdering their crews, and even foreign navies kidnapping merchant sailors and forcing them into their service. So Phoebe, thinking fast, made a deal with her son. She would lend him the money, she said, to buy his own vessel, a two-masted sailing barge which he could convert into a ferry boat. All she asked in return was that the boy plow and harrow and plant 8 acres of untilled land for her. Well, he agreed, and he purchased his boat. And by the end of his first season as a ferry boat captain, he not only had repaid his mother her $1,000 loan, but had given her, for her generosity, another $1,000 in addition. His incredible success and brash self-confidence won him a nickname on the waterfront. They called him the Commodore. The other seamen called him the Commodore, and the nickname stuck for the rest of his life. For that solitary two-masted sailing barge docked at Staten Island, New York, one day grew into a fleet of ships, and the sea-loving Dutch farm boy who made them sail became a transportation tycoon unrivaled in American history. First in shipping, then in railroads, and yet the Commodore, for all his commercial triumphs, despite his considerable impact on his nation's future, was compelled all through his life to rely on that phenomenal memory of his. and on the rudimentary skills of people who could not even begin to comprehend his determination or his vision. Because even the most complex financial accounting, he was forced to calculate in his mind and to recall. Even the simplest business letter would have to be read to him by a secretary. What I'm saying is that the man who built one of the world's greatest fortunes on a $1,000 loan from his mother, the man who had dropped out of school at the age of 11, then and forever after, could only barely read or write. I know the history books tell you of the great financier Cornelius Vanderbilt, how he quit school to be a farmer. Well, that is so, but now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And today I have Gina Beagle in the studio. We are discussing issues with San Luis Ranch. San Luis Ranch is a development by Central Coastal Community Builders, which is Gary Grossman's company. It's also the developer is Presidio. He is the builder. And from the outside, it looks like a beautiful community, but there are a lot of trouble. There's a lot of problems with multiple houses over there. I spoke to one woman. The mold is so bad in her home that they went in and they tore out walls, but it's so bad it's into the studs. She had to send her children to live somewhere else because it's not safe for them there, and the whole house might have to be torn down. The bigger issue, though, is were the homes properly inspected? Did they follow state law regarding inspections? And remember, this happened years ago with Kelly Gearhart, though the houses did not have, the houses were better built. They were not having mold. They did not have leaks. They didn't have doors that didn't shut. There may have been problems with the inspections, but the problems with the houses weren't there. There are quite a few problems with the inspections, especially for fires. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hey, Karen. Hey, Gina. You know, this brings up flashes of the past. I'm a realtor, and there were four developments in San Luis Obispo in the 2000s that were doing the same thing. They used shoddy workmanship. They didn't use licensed contractors. They were not inspected properly. One of them was right across the street at Costco. There's new developments there. People have the same problems. Now, Gina, was your problem because of the pipes, or was it the HVAC, or was it the roof itself?
Well, the HVAC was one problem that affected the water leak, but also subsequently I ended up having all of the insulation and strapping that was holding the insulation in my attic fall down. But those are two separate issues.
So it was HVAC? The same thing happened with the development out Disley. There's four developments I'm thinking about. It all had these same issues. It's kind of amazing to me that, you know, these people are greedy. They wanted to build these houses as fast as they can, and you probably paid $800,000, $900,000 for that house when the construction worth is way less than that. So they're basically just making huge amounts of money off that. But what happened is that these people, after the downturn, all these companies went bankrupt, and then there was no recourse. So, you know, I just recommend, too, that if you can get a hold of your insurance company, also to inform them, because I've seen it before where you didn't tell them about the mold, and then all of a sudden they say, you know, 6 months down the road, why don't you tell us about that mold? And also, to go back on the subcontractors, whoever put these houses together. And there's also a lemon law as far as housing goes on this, too, that could be reported. But I'm glad that you stepped forward to tell people about this because, you know, there's some people out there that might just repair those houses and patch up that mold and just move on down the road without telling people.
I really appreciate you sharing. I'm scared to share. I don't feel safe in my home just in terms of the way it's built, but I also don't really feel safe in my community. You know, I've posted around, did anyone else have problems in the community? And I got some pretty negative response to that. People concerned about their property values and that I should keep my business to myself and things like that. But in my life, I feel like it's really important to bring truth to power. And regardless of in what domain it is, whether it's my career or my personal life.
You know, what happened with the Isley development is I knew the contractors who were the plumbers there, and they went through and they were doing the plumbing for the contractor, and the contractor decided, well, we don't need you. So what he did is he hired his assistants to come through and do the plumbing, and they weren't licensed plumbers at all. And so some of those developments, they had shower pans that weren't put in properly. They were one shower pan was leaking into the ceiling, and they were blaming it on the grout, and when it was actually the piping for it, they had HVAC problems, they had roof leaks also. But by the time it comes to going after the contractors, those contractors, and Karen knows their names, you mentioned one earlier, I don't want to mention names over the line, but anyway, they were all bankrupt. They all stepped away. And the subcontractors were like fictitious people. They were like hired. We had no license, no bonds, anything else, so... Unfortunately, we see this when the market goes up, like it's going to, like it has been doing.
Yeah. Well, it's my understanding that the designer for the whole build, Holiday Carpet, is out of business, and they did all the tile and cabinets and flooring. So if that sheds some information to support what you were just saying.
Yeah, and you have to also look at the bonding. This is these companies' bonding, because there should be a bonding there that protects you as far as if they do go bankrupt. And but, you know, when it comes to insurance companies, if they find out there's been mold like for like 6 months, you know, there's a time limit on that when they'll cover that. So, but I really feel for you. And unfortunately, we should see a breakdown there of the city inspectors. And, you know, I've seen people with projects that have city inspectors that are going over their plans for a year and nitpicking it here and there. And then all of a sudden I'm hearing about, you know, the rich and powerful just getting all these permits and plans done. And then, of course, you just mentioned one of the politicians who just moved in there and have no problem with their house. It makes me wonder, you know, a quid pro quo of some sort going to these people. So, and like Karen could tell you, that San Luis Obispo has been had a problem with powerful people bribing people all along, especially with contractors and
yep.
developments.
That's one thing I definitely didn't know moving into the community ahead of time.
And there's actually, she lives... where she lives, two doors down was Jan Marks, City Councilwoman Jan Marks. But three doors the other way, or four, was a home bought by the husband of Don Ortiz Legg. And I have talked to neighbors who said that house was one of the few houses that everything was done correctly. And it was put together correctly. But again, there are two houses right near her that are owned by public officials.
Yeah, and Don Ortiz Legg's husband, you know, he's in a contracting business. He knows his stuff when it comes to that. He could pick up on that. So it's kind of amazing that quid pro quo and what's going on with this. So that'd be something to look into, Karen. I mean, you get a lot of stuff on your plate now, but there'd be even something else to look at.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things here that I, as a reporter, that I have always worked on is talking to city inspectors. And when I was working on the stories with Belcher and Pettit and allegations of wrongdoing with those developments, I was talking to two different San Luis Obispo city inspectors who had both been there. One had been there over 20 years, and one had, I think, 10 or 15 years in. And they both, you know, I was told that there was a certain developers that didn't get the same standards. And they gave me three names, and they said the fire marshal will sign off on things. So there was a little hotel built around this time in San Luis Obispo. And the firewall things are supposed to be very, very important. Because if there's a fire in a garage or in a kitchen, they do not want it going into the residential part of a home. Or if you're a hotel, you have to have a serious firewall between the kitchen area and between the rooms. So there was a hotel in town where they actually cut a hole in the firewall so they could pass food through to the front desk to deliver to the rooms. I talked to a local hoteler that told me he would have been shut down that day. He said, that would have been you can't have any occupancy until you fix that. But in this case, the fire marshal kept signing off on the property and did not make them fix it. And the people that reported it to me were the city inspectors that felt that the fire marshal was violating the law by signing off on things for certain developers. In this case, the fire marshal literally signed off on the certificate of occupancy, though according to Gina, the day that he said that he was there checking the sprinkler systems and the different things in her home, no one showed up. There was no inspection. More recently, there was a fire. Tell us a little bit about the fire right near your home. And I did see this fire. You could almost look out her front window and see the burned homes.
Yeah, so there are four homes in which have received fire damage. Two have been completely burned to the ground, and it's on the same street that I lit a backup against on Froom Ranch Road. And the smoke was really, really strong. And interestingly, because of where I live, you can't at the time you couldn't exit the where I lived because it was because of the fire and fire trucks. So it's so scary to me that there has been a lot of very strange things that have happened in the community since I've moved in. I don't know if you remember the active shooter. That person was actually just sentenced, I think, a week ago. There's a large homeless population that walks down the Froom Ranch Road all of the time, which is up against my home. And then, of course, more recently, the fires. And that got me really thinking because I know that my fire door is still not up to code. And so, you know, I reached out to the fire department and to the fire chief, asking what they're doing to mitigate, you know, potential problems. As I read in the newspaper, I guess one of the hydrants wasn't charged, and I don't know what's going on with that case. I'm not a detective, but I do know I have concern given that it was right down the street from my house, and all of these houses are really, really close to one another.
And if the fire marshal is not property checking before they put in, when they're doing a development, even if you just have the sticks up, you have to have a fire hydrant that actually works. And in this case, the fire hydrants were not charged in that area. And you don't even know if the one works on your street, do you?
No, and I asked, and I was told they were tested right after. And at least to my knowledge, I do have a hydrant on my street across the street from my house, actually, and never saw it. I don't know what it requires to test them, but there was no one there, no fire trucks, no water from the hydrant had it been tested that I saw in my purview.
So hopefully, it's a terrible thing they had the fire. And what these houses were, they were not finished houses. These were four houses under construction. And as she said, two were, I walked by, two are completely destroyed. One is fairly destroyed, and one just had some damage on the outside.
Yeah, and, you know, it went through this, at least the flames went through the street or the heat from the flames, so it did also affect the ground and the flora and fauna that are out there. But as I mentioned, I did reach out to the fire chief with my concerns, and in particularly my house, and was told that they're not able to provide inspections of private single-family residences. And honestly, given that I've learned that my fire sprinkler and fire hydro test were done on the 18th of January 2022, which was after I lived there and which no one ever came to my house, I have concern that they even work.
We're going to take a word from our sponsors and be back with more with Gina Beagle talking about issues with San Luis Ranch in San Luis Obispo.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Elizabeth McDonald, and this is the Fox Business Report. The major averages ending higher as investors await a key inflation reading for May on Friday. Mega cap tech stocks were among the gainers while healthcare companies lagged. Shares of Chipotle rose slightly. The fast casual restaurant chain's massive 50-to-1 stock split took effect today. It's Chipotle's first stock split since its shares debuted on the New York Stock Exchange nearly two decades ago. And Amazon stock rose 4% with the e-commerce giant crossing the $2 trillion market cap threshold and becoming the fifth U.S. company to close at or above that level. The Dow winners, Amazon, Home Depot, and United Health Group. The Dow decliners, Amgen, Travelers, and Chevron. The Dow rising 16 points, the NASDAQ up 88, S&P 500 up 9. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Something amazing is happening in video conferencing. People are showing up in big ways. That's because CDW is building collaborative and connected video and audio environments with HP Poly. With NoiseBlock AI to silence distractions and group framing to highlight speakers, everyone on your team gets to shine. Make amazing happen. HP Poly and CDW. Learn more at cdw.com/poly.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company has known for over 50 years that you have a choice when it comes to garage door services. That's why they utilize only the finest garage door materials and equipment, and their fleet of fully equipped service vehicles are ready to serve your maintenance and repair needs quickly and efficiently. Hammond Overhead Door Company. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Own a Mac or Windows computer? Knology has what you need. Whether it's an upgrade, repair, or data transfer, Knology is your local one-stop repair store. If it's components you want, Knology has cables, adapters, and hard-to-find computer parts. Have questions? Knology has the answers. Give them a call at 805-226-5200. Serving the Central Coast for nearly 15 years. Knology Computers, 1740 Spring Street, Suite C, next to DK Donuts in Paso Robles.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili. I'm the host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to have a special treat for you. There is a captain, an officer in the Ukraine Army. He is currently on vacation at his family's home in Odessa. Odessa is being bombed currently. I have Josh Friedman, a reporter with Cal Coast News, is actually in Odessa. I called him the other morning, and he woke up and said he missed a building nearby where he was staying being bombed, though the fire was still ongoing. We're going to be getting what is going on, how morale is currently in the country, how the citizens are handling the war. And Josh says, well, you may have bombing in one neighborhood. You go down to the beach and people have their blankets out. So I think it'll be an interesting conversation with a captain in the Army tomorrow. Today, I have Gina Beagle on the show. We are talking about issues with development in San Luis Obispo at San Luis Ranch. For years, there have been complaints that certain developers get away with not having things properly inspected. And in some cases, the homes have a lot of problems. In others, they don't have as many problems. But this is similar to what happened with Kelly Gearhart years ago. He built neighborhoods, and people on city staff in Atascadero signed off as if somebody went over and inspected. People moved in, and they lived there for 5 years before it was determined the inspections actually never occurred. They had people go back out in Atascadero and inspect homes when the walls were already up. How do you inspect a home and determine the piping was put in correctly, that the walls were done to code, when the walls are already up. But they did try to go back in and inspect. There appears to be serious problems in the San Luis Ranch neighborhood. I went over multiple homes in the area, and I only found one that appears that it was completely inspected before anyone moved in. And I didn't check every home. I checked about 8 homes. But that one actually belongs to San Luis Obispo City Councilwoman Jan Marks. That was the only home I found that all the inspections had occurred. You look at the inspections, and it'll say finaled, but then you look at it, and it says it's still
scheduled
to be finaled. So nobody actually went out and finaled it. You moved into your home before your certificate of occupancy. Your fire inspections were done when nobody was there. You don't know if your sprinkler system works. You don't know if the water works. Now, I spoke to a neighbor, some neighbors out there, and one of the common complaints was flooding in your yard after the homes were built. Several people have hired plumbers to find out what was wrong, and they found out the drains, these are like yard patio areas. The drains in the yards, they're not real. You have a drain, but it doesn't go anywhere. It's completely decorative. Did you have flooding in your yard also?
I had some grading and drainage issues. Specifically, right when I moved in, the backyard was kind of flooded with dirt, with mud, and it kept that way. The puddling was there for some time, and on the side of my house, I ended up hiring, because of the HOA, we have to finish the backyards ourselves within a certain amount of time. So I did hire someone to do that. And I do remember them speaking about having to fix some of the issues in my backyard. But I wouldn't be able to say if my drains actually worked or not unless I dug up the concrete that I had put back there.
And one of the other things that happened with Kelly Gearhart, when I first started reporting on Kelly back in, 2016 to 18, there were people that were very angry. They said that, you know, he's a great builder. You're hurting a good man. He's done a lot of good things. And it would be a few years before people said, wait a minute, they sold hundreds of millions of dollars from investors, mostly seniors in the community. How are most of your, have you had any problems with neighbors being angry at you because you're pointing out the issues?
Yes, I did receive a negative and unpleasant email through my business. I've received some messages publicly on Facebook as well as direct messages. People would prefer me to be quiet and not share anything, but I really feel like I had no choice. I've been in this for over 2.5 years. I actually can't believe I'm sitting here with you right now even talking about this. I don't want to know what I know. I don't want to have experienced what I've experienced. I want to be doing the work that I've meant to be doing in my career, working with teens and helping teens and mindfulness, which is my work. And instead, I'm having to spend every day trying to figure out what happened so that I can get out of this nightmare situation.
And one thing I don't understand is usually your lender will not let this go through without a certificate of occupancy. How did you find your lender?
I found my lender through Coastal Community Builders office, and they had some cards out and mentioned Pacific Trust Mortgage to me, and that's who I ended up going with.
Did they give you an incentive for working with their preferred lender?
I did. I ended up getting a small one, I think $1,000.
So the lender was through them. How about the appraiser? Was it also someone that they wanted you to use?
I didn't get a choice of the appraiser. I didn't even know their name until recently when I was trying to get a copy of my appraisal.
And so you have a lender. How did this end up? What went to the title company? How did the title company approve this? Did they think there was a certificate of occupancy when you purchased?
I believe so. And I've contacted First American Title, and we'll be speaking with them further. But, you know, I've learned that it's not their job to necessarily go and fact check everything that's given to them, because they presume that it's done correctly. The documents that they sent to me are similar to the ones that I recently received from the lender. One of them was titled as COO, which is Certificate of Occupancy, and was actually not. It was the inspection record, which is something that I've learned is something that's kept on the site. and just initialed by different people. And that actually does have a date that is finaled correctly, but that's not my certificate of occupancy. And obviously, as we now know, my house isn't completed at this time.
So what was the date on this document when they, what did they tell the title company was a certificate of occupancy? What date's on that one?
Well, on the document that the first title sent me, as well as my lender, it says that on this inspection record, which is not a certificate of occupancy, it says 12/22/21. And First American Title did send me the certificate of occupancy showing the 1/18/22, which we know is incorrect. That's weeks after I was living there and after my house closed on the 30th of December. And once I asked the lender to send me the accurate, correct COO, he did so provide that to me as well. But I don't know if the title company noticed that the COO that they were given was a date that was inaccurate or was after the fact, which shouldn't allow title to finish.
So your lender eventually received the right COO and gave you a copy?
The lender actually just, I called out the fact that what I received by the email from him was actually not the COO. And the very next day was able to provide that document to me the second time I asked.
And the reason this is very important is certificates of occupancy. California law does not allow anyone to sell a home, to move somebody in without a certificate of occupancy. You can't put utilities in your name. You can't buy the house. None of this is supposed to happen without a certificate of occupancy. But in this case, she moved in a different year than the certificate of occupancy. The occupancy was done the year after, not a year after, but it was done after she was moved in a different year. And you were able to get your utilities on, and PG&E and everybody just approved this without a COO.
They were on when I moved in. I just think I changed my name to my name. I'm not really sure all the details on that. And plus, with the solar, it takes a few months to have the solar get activated. So I was paying for PG&E for a little while.
And it's very interesting. Also, at Don Ortiz Legg was involved. Both her and her husband had been working for PG&E. He is a PG&E employee, correct?
I can't speak to that. I don't know that information. You'd have to look into that. What I would like to say, though, is that, you know, there's only so much knowledge a buyer can have when they buy a home. You sign a contract, but you're not able to get access to the inspection record, or if you are, I surely didn't know how. I didn't even know what some of these things were until recently. How is it on me to have to know that my house wasn't completed and that title went through on a house with these documents not being completed? So my concern is there's no way for a regular everyday person to possibly get this information to then sign a contract that they're bound to in which they're spending enormous amounts of money to fight legally when the contract itself is based on something that isn't accurate.
And I have talked to some of your neighbors, one of whom is actually a real estate agent. And they were telling me, for example, Jan Marks owns the only single story style house that I saw in that area. And the real estate agent told me that was supposed to only be for the low cost housing, that design. But Jan Marks, she's an attorney. Her husband was a professor at Cal Poly. They own other properties. It appears that she paid full price, but why? I was told that other people were not allowed to buy that design unless you were doing low-cost housing.
Yeah, that might appear that way as well. I remember seeing in the sales office, they would show the ones for sale and which ones had sold. And at one point, I think they even showed some of the ones that were low-income housing. I don't have that at the top of my, in front of me at this time, but that could possibly be the case.
And the neighborhood was supposed to have a significant amount. What happened back in the Kelly Gearhart days with the same thing? You had a number of places that were supposed to be low-cost housing, but some of them actually went to people tied to Kelly Gearhart, like public officials' children, people that, you know, business partners, people were put into the low-cost housing that absolutely did not, it wasn't, how would you say, they did not, they were not the people the low-cost housing was meant for. This has happened in this community before. There's another neighborhood in SLO. The same thing happened. The city inspector, the literal city inspector, got a low-cost house in a development nearby this development. So this has been an issue for some time. There was one point where one of Kelly Gearhart's, either his stepson or his son, also received one of the low-cost housing units. Another person was, the daughter, Emily Worrell, the daughter of the IWMA regulator, she was put in a low-cost housing unit when she was about 18. The house was paid for by a family trust. So this is someone that was young. The family trust buys a home for her, and she gets a housing that is low-cost housing. There needs to be a lot more oversight over who is actually getting into these homes.
Well, I also think that there just needs to be a lot of transparency. When an owner has questions about their home, like who the builder is or who is the general contractor, et cetera, you would think that when you ask a general question, you would get a straight answer. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get a lot of the answers to my questions, like who the subcontractors are, et cetera. For example, if I wrote you an email and I asked you what color the sky was, you would just write me blue because it wasn't a really big deal and because you know it's blue. Unfortunately, when I ask questions, I get really strange answers that don't really make sense and don't really lead me to actually the facts and information that I'm trying to obtain. And to me, that leads me to be concerned. It brings up more concerns when, if you're asking someone for something straight in a straightforward manner, that you should get a simple answer back. But when you start getting these convoluted responses and pointing fingers at different people, it starts bringing up more red flags for me.
What would you like to see the city do at this point?
Their job. Sorry.
Could you be a little more specific?
Yes. I would like to actually make sure my house is up to code and up to standard in our community in which I live. I just wanted my house fixed, and that's all I ever wanted. At this point, I do not feel safe in my community. I don't feel safe in my home. And what the future holds for me in that respect is to be decided. But I know that I need to be spending time on my career, and instead I'm spending time searching public records, trying to figure out things about my home that I couldn't get answers to. And that's why I even have the information that we're talking about, is just because I was just wanting to, I took what I know in my career, which is research and writing, and used those same tools and found information about the house, my house, and that it wasn't finaled. And I'm still living in a house today that has not passed a final inspection, and that doesn't have a final inspection for fire, and no one was in my home since the day I have lived there to come and do so.
And I would think that the city inspector, if they didn't actually come by and do the fire inspection, I would think that the city should demand that the fire marshal go back out and properly inspect these homes. That's what happened in Atascadero. They demanded full inspections of the homes. It was a little late, but they demanded that they go in and make sure things were livable.
But like you said, when the walls are up, it's really hard to undo a house. How do we know everything was completed according to Hoyle along the way? And it's a little difficult to be able to undo that now. And I have all of these problems with my house, and it's 2.5 years old. My concern is what is this house going to be like and look like, and what will my experience be like at 10 years or further down the road?
And while your house has issues like doors that don't shut or doors that won't open and cabinets that swing open, again, the houses that have the severe black mold, I find that to be a serious health hazard for the people that are living there. And as I said, I spoke to one person. They did not want me using their name, but they literally sent their children to stay somewhere else. They put all their money into this house. They live and work in the area. They cannot, they've stayed in hotels on and off, but they can't afford just to go stay in a hotel indefinitely while they try to get someone to give them, to get their house fixed. And meanwhile, their children are not living with them. We're going to take a word from our sponsors and be back with more with Gina Beagle.
Hi, this is Barry Oxford, president of BD Oxford Financial on Main Street in Templeton. Perhaps you heard my commercial about Roth conversions. To date, we've converted over $70 million without reducing anyone's principal. That's huge, and it's not too good to be true. Join us live online July 10th at 1 p.m. and learn how to access real money to pay the Roth conversion taxes, review actual Roth conversion case designs, learn the real benefits of taxable versus tax-free income, learn about the effects of the 2026 tax increase if the wrong guy wins. Go to bdofinancial.com to register. That's bdofinancial.com. Reach us at 805-434-6971 and learn how to divorce the IRS.
Listen to the actual Yelp review by Paso Robles Glass from our happy customer. I had a tough time deciding whether it was worth the money to replace my single-pane aluminum windows with new efficient ones. Only so much money and multiple things that could be updated in my house. Brandon and Steven just left my house after spending 2 days putting in all the new Milgard Trinzic windows. Best money I have ever spent. I never imagined new windows could change the look of a house so much. The best part was all the time that Brandon and Steven took showing pride in their work, making sure I was taken care of as their customer. The customer service they provided made every dollar I spent worth it. I would recommend Paso Robles Glass and their staff to anyone looking to get glass work done. Too bad more companies don't operate and care about their customers like Paso Robles Glass does. A really refreshing experience. Signed by our customer, Eric R.
Paso Robles Glass, the Milgard Replacement Window Masters. Call for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic Windows and Doors. 805-238-4014.
Little darling, here comes the sun. Yep, it's that time again, and you'll be splashing around in your pool. Are you ready? Stop by Stove and Spa Center in Atascadero and stock up on premium pool care products from BioGuard to properly maintain your pool the quick and easy way. Choose from convenient, easy-to-use pool care systems or a host of individual products and accessories to get that sparkling, clear pool water you love. Visit Stove and Spa Center in Atascadero for advice and all the BioGuard products you need, little darling.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey. I'm the host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And today we're talking about, this time it's in San Luis Obispo. There are multiple people in the San Luis Ranch neighborhood whose homes were not, state law in California, you can only get a certificate of occupancy after city inspectors and inspectors have determined it follows state construction laws for residential and also local laws. It's a black and white rule. You're not supposed to be able to get a loan. You're not supposed to be able to do anything, move in. You're not supposed to be able to get your utilities on. But in this neighborhood, people received loans. They were able to get their utilities on. A lot of things happened that are not supposed to legally happen. This has happened over and over in our community. It's a way of cutting costs. So Kelly Gearhart did it. He had people in the city of Tascadero that would look the other way while he had houses signed off on that they were inspected while they weren't. It's a great cost savings because you have to pay for those inspections. There's now allegations that Gary Grossman of Coastal Community Builders is doing the same thing. So before we left, took our break, you were saying that they offered you an incentive to use their preferred lender.
Yeah, it wasn't very much because I was told that, you know, the houses were selling very quickly as they became available. And so they offered me the $1,000.
And who was their preferred lender?
Pacific Trust Mortgage.
And so when it came time to final, he sent over the certificate of operation. What about the appraiser?
Yeah, so I just recently have been trying to gather the information to see what happened before I took ownership. And the appraisal, the second appraisal, the first one was done in October. And then the second one was, I guess, like a reappraisal closer to the date, which is called a 1040D, I believe. And what I found interesting about that was that there were pictures to other people's homes in my appraisal. So, for example, it wasn't my bathroom. In fact, not even closely my bathroom. My upstairs bedrooms have a laminate floor, and it listed them as carpet. It listed the HOA as not builder run. And I believe, it's my understanding, I'm not an expert, but I believe that the builder still is on the board until their building is done and complete, which it's not. Additionally, when I tried to ask the appraiser and the lender who notifies them when, you know, to let someone know that it's okay, it's someone's ready to close on the house, I was informed that it was at Legacy for San Luis Ranch. It was their sales team notifies when the property is ready. And the sales team, I believe, is actually the realtor that was my real estate person for the sale. So I'm a little confused how a realtor calls a lender to say my house is complete and final and that I can move in. So there's still some outstanding questions that I have that we're being able to bring up here today. And I'm hoping that this gives some openings to some additional information being provided to the community and to myself.
And let's talk about the HOA. Who else is on the HOA board?
Well, I know there's two spots that are residents. I don't know both of their names. I do know one is someone named Stephen Marks. And the other person, I would have to look into my information, but could give you that information.
So developer Gary Grossman is on a board with San Luis Obispo Councilwoman Jan Marks' husband, Steve Marks.
That's my understanding. Well, that is the case, yes. I can't speak to Gary Grossman. I've never seen him on one of the HOA meetings, but I did get an interesting HOA notification today, or I opened it today. It was in my mail about having clear Christmas lights still on my home. I had them installed because my roof is so tall. I didn't remove them because you have to pay to have someone install them, you know, put them on your house. And I hadn't taken them off because they're clear and I don't put them on at night, but I did get a friendly notice that I was not in compliance of my with my Christmas lights. But those have been on, this Christmas will be 2 years, but recently I guess that has become a problem for them. And I presume then it's a problem for other neighbors who still have their lights on their house. I'll have to ask them.
And so while they're not, I've seen the inspection report. Gina hired a private inspector to come in, you know, a licensed inspector to come in and say what was wrong with her home. I think it's around 30 pages. 45 pages. And it's stunning. I mean, there's problems with her roof coming apart. There's problems with the insulation. There's problems with the walls. The screws on the cabinets, they use the wrong side screws. So screws poke up into the cabinets because somebody didn't use the screws that you were supposed to use for those cabinets. The amount of problems in the home are extraordinary. But while they're allowing the roof to be buckling and the doors not to shut, they're concerned with clear lights being on the home.
That's correct. I've also been notified a number of times about my weeds. Sometimes they are actually not weeds. They are actually plants I planted myself, dahlias. I really love planting. It's a big part of my life. And actually, when I moved there, I was under the presumption that they were going to have a community garden. That was one of the reasons why I even moved there and gave up my own gardening, because I knew I would have some, hopefully some land to be able to grow on. And that's still not available to anybody at this point. It doesn't exist, to my knowledge.
Well, I can tell you, I was at her house and she has the best yard that I saw anywhere in the neighborhood. The flowers are incredible. Are the sweet peas the big pile of flowers in the front?
Yeah, they have really taken over and are showing themselves, and the fragrance is quite nice. I really had no idea they were going to really take over this season.
Of anyone, though, to complain about weeds, I think you have the most, I'm not, your yard, your front and your back are very attractive.
Thanks. I put a lot of, I thought this was going to be, maybe my forever home. And so I put a lot of time and energy into it. I even have a custom pottery plate with my address on it that I had made beforehand. I've custom done the fence in my backyard. I mean, everything, I put so much time and effort into something. And I have not had one night's sleep in that house that I felt comfortable. It's very uncomfortable to live in a house in which you do not feel safe. It's supposed to be your sanctuary. And instead, I stare at a huge gaping hole every day when I'm in my bed, when I wake up and when I go to bed.
Have you thought about paying to have that repaired? Or as your attorney said, leave it. It's their responsibility.
I can't afford it, unfortunately. One, I don't really know whether I should do that or not. Up until recently, I was under the impression I was going to get an inspection report from the opposing side. Unfortunately, they withheld that for over a year, and to this day, I have never received it. So that's why I ended up hiring my own defect inspector recently. But I cannot afford to fix the problems in my home because of the legal fees that the system of the contract, when you sign, you are basically signing up for many years of legal problems and process and processes in a town in which hasn't seemed to support me and my needs at this time.
And this has been a common problem when we do have this type of things, when there's allegations against developers, typically I've noticed in the very beginning people are mad because they believe that somebody's they're trying to do a good job. This is wrong. But in the end, most people realize that Kelly Gearhart was harming people in our community. During his sentencing hearing, I think about 15 to 20 people from the community came in, and it was heartbreaking. They talked about losing everything to him. They talked about how their parents had lost their last dime to this man. But one of the differences with Kelly is a lot of the properties that he finished were actually well done. So there wasn't the problem with the inspections because there were issues. Though I did have someone, part of the reason all this came out, someone needed something done with their septic tank. And in the plans, it was one place, and it's actually they had built the house over the septic tank. And there was a problem. That's when they finally realized that the inspections had not been done correct, and they had to go back in. So there were issues, but it's not to the degree that the homes are where you're at, where people cannot. I'm hearing that some people find it unlivable.
Yeah, I work, I have a group called San Luis Ranch Neighbors on Facebook. And when I was looking at how many people had complained about CCB homes unsolicited, there were like around 19 different houses, I believe. And that's just from the people who were in that group.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add?
I would just like to add, my heart goes out to this young lady and the follow the money all the way from the permit application to the Delidio Ranch program, all the way to the finance people. They're all on the take probably.
Thank you.
Short of time.
Thank you very much for calling in. And thank you for coming on the show. I know this is hard, and I appreciate you telling the public a little bit about what has happened to you.
I'm grateful for the opportunity and that you're doing the hard work that you're doing out there and trying to bring truth to power.
Thank you, and we will be back tomorrow.
Sound off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply, serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.